The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Friday night, fun time, fun night with Admiral Harry Cooper standing by in Florida somewhere. He's out and about with his family in a beautiful travel trailer and waiting for Santa. Or is he hiding from Santa? We know he has his Christmas dog, which has kicked him out of his bed. I hope you get back in bed in time for Christmas. What's going on down there?
Yeah, Asha. She's now 65 pounds and still growing. She's a male mute. And
what do you mean a male mute?
No.
A male mute dog is probably the best kind. They're quiet. They're protective.
Yeah.
And I get it.
This is a big version of a husky. She's 65 pounds now and still growing.
Uh-huh.
And she thinks she's a people. She jumps up on the bed, makes herself comfortable. And
she bares her teeth at you, and you retire to the living room sofa. I get it.
No, she's so good about that. She's never mean or nasty at all. My wife did some research on huskies and malamutes, and if a burglar was to break in, she'd run to get her toys to play with the burglar. They're not a good defense dog.
I see. That is interesting.
She doesn't have a mean.
She what?
Right. They don't. They're not mean. She loves that bed you sent.
No, that's good. I thought you got a male mute dog, so I sent you a bed. I wanted to make him happy.
Okay. Well, you thought it was a husky at first.
I did. I didn't know what it was.
That's what we were told, too. She was a husky, 40 pounds when we got her in September, rescued her from the shelter. 40 pounds, a husky, and that's the biggest she's going to get. Well, we had her in the vet for normal routine checkups, and he said, no, this ain't no husky. This is a Malamute. And I used to have one a million years ago named Xerxes. This thing was so huge. He could stand up on his back legs and put his front legs on my shoulders, and his head was higher than mine.
Wow.
And I was 5'10 at the time.
So what is she going to end up? 75 pounds? Unless you keep her feed regulated?
Yeah, we figure 75 will be about right. About 75, we figure.
She could knock you down and really do some damage. You need to be careful.
Yeah, but she's not mean. She's really, really a good
being
dog.
Mean. They want to be close, and they get too close, and you're not seeing them, and boom.
Yeah, and she talks. You know, these dogs, they'll make all sorts of noises. You know, and when it's time for her to go out, she'll come over and she'll mouth on your hand. She'll grab your hand and start dragging you to the door.
Notice how he didn't mention the fact that the teeth penetrate the hand, but other than that.
No.
You got a Christmas dog. This is good.
Yeah. She's ripped up some of my clothes because I play rough with her, and she plays rough back, and she's ripped up some of my clothes. Okay, we'll live with it. She's a good dog. And son, you know, my son has special needs, and she took to him right away. Bang, zoom. They were buddies.
How nice.
Yep.
Well, that's golden days, so he can have fun, and that's nice. That's nice. Smart dog, obviously. Very good. All right. So, you're hiding from Santa, lurking around in the back of the Everglades in some kind of a travel trailer, which you sent me a picture of. Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's not in the Everglades. We're way up in the panhandle, almost to Alabama. Because, you know, my wife and I are from Chicago originally, and she likes to have that sting in the air around this time. And boy, I'll tell you what, it's sting all right. We wake up in the morning, it's right around 32, 33 degrees. And got up here, and the doggone furnace decided not to work. Mm-hmm. So we had a kid come by and take the whole furnace apart. Oh, yeah, there was a mud dauber nest about the size of a tennis ball right in the blower, and so the blower couldn't turn, so we didn't have heat. So
it figured it out, fixed it.
Yeah, we dispossessed a whole lot of mud daubers.
Uh-huh. Don't they sting in the spring?
Well, this ain't the spring. They were hibernating,
they,
and now they're...
They could sting.
But they didn't, and now they're all dead.
All right, this is a family program, Admiral. Be careful.
Oh, okay. We sent them on to the happy
they're
hunting ground for mud daubers.
No, they're still hibernating. Yeah. You relocated them. That's it.
That's kidding.
All right, listen. Mud daubers don't belong in the heating duct. That's good.
That's for sure.
All right. But all things considered, you are on tour, and you wanted to go where it gets cold. Most Americans who don't know the South don't understand that it can get very cold in the South. They think it's kind of perennial in its temperate nature, but it's not. It can get nasty.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize Florida is 400 or 500 miles long from north to south, and there's huge big climate differences. Miami right now is probably toasty warm, and the Keys, they're always beautiful, but up here in the panhandle near Alabama, we're quite a ways north, and it's brisk.
All right, you feel Christmas in the air, that cold nippy feeling, is that what you were after?
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, that's important. My wife is from traditional family, always celebrated. She's Polish and always celebrated Święcunska, which is around Christmas time, I think, and Vigilia, which is around Easter. So we always celebrate those. And our son, like I say, he's 32, but he's special needs, and he still loves to see Santa Claus's gifts in the morning on Christmas morning.
Well, that's what it's all about.
You bet.
Very nice. You're a great dad. Wonderful dad.
Well, I got a great family.
I know. Well, it works both ways, so good job.
Yeah, it sure does. And,
really,
you know, most marriages, they say, are 50-50. This one's 80-20 or probably 90-10. My poor wife has to put up with so much out of me, and she's just a great lady.
She's always been that way. I've never heard anything
makes,
but the best.
Yep, she made sure that Shark Hunters was still in existence. So, and now she does all the work shipping our books and things out. And our daughter, she's a 28-year-old brilliant young lady.
Megan
with a master's.
Is 28?
Yeah. Yep,
come on.
Time flies.
She was just 20.
Well, that was 8 years ago, wasn't it?
I remember when she was a kid, right?
Yeah, so do I. Yeah, and she's she does our secretary stuff and she does our webmaster stuff. She's not as sharp at it as the previous webmaster, but at least I can depend on her.
Well, good. A happy story all the way around. I like it.
Yes.
Yeah. What we want to hear.
I've been blessed. Boy, oh boy, have I been blessed. Way beyond what I deserve.
Yeah. You know, you turn the coin, that shiny, beautiful little portrait you just painted, you flip the coin over. In Los Angeles, somewhere between 60 and 100,000 people are homeless and living on the streets. That's just one city. Now, the Supreme Court just ruled that no one, nowhere in this country, can prevent the homeless from living on the sidewalks. What that's going to do in the big cities is create third world ghettos. The streets will be packed with disease and filth and all manner of lawlessness.
Needles,
shall we put it that way?
Needles and
you name it. Well, the guy in San Francisco the other day just dumped in one of the aisles in the supermarket and walked out. They didn't do anything.
Oh, my God. Holy
That's
cow.
How bad it's
getting.
Well,
I'm glad I don't live out there.
A lot of people in the homeless category, which, by the way, just increased by 2.7% more, are not there because of anything they've done wrong. They're the victim of Trump's booming economy, all right, which isn't. And now the New York Federal Reserve intimated, in fact, it stated, that it's going to put another $2 or $3 trillion more dollars, trillion, into the U.S. stock markets to keep them stable. That's $7 trillion now in 2 months, I think. So much for a booming economy.
How come they don't send me any money? How come they don't send me any money?
Yeah, you didn't go on the New York Stock Exchange. We can't invest in Cooper Inc. Otherwise, you would have got
there is
some.
No Cooper Inc. yet.
It's Red Ink, right? No, I'm just
Red Ink is for sure. No, I'm not kidding. You know, right now, Shark Hunters owes Harry Cooper $196,000 because every month I get my retirement check in and I have to dump some more money into Shark Hunters because we don't really charge enough to cover everything. And so what else am I going to do with the money?
No, you're doing everything right. It's lead by example, and you've always been an inspiration.
I'm having fun.
A lot of people. No, that's the truth. All right, my friend. We're going to ask all of you out there to go to Guests on Rents and look on the left-hand side for Harry Cooper. Join us on a photo trip with Harry. First up, Cooper in Germany. Now, these are all new photos, and pull that link up, and you'll see a photo gallery that my really excellent webmaster put together. Look at that. Nice.
Yep.
And
these are photos of our last time in Berlin and North Germany. We haven't been there in 5 or 6 years, but we're going in 2020, and we got quite a few members that are eager to go with us. And, you know, the ones that have said they want to go, I know them all, and they're all great people. And we always have fun when they're with us. So I think we're going to have a great group here.
Now, these photos are of where? These are a preview of where you're going? Did I hear that wrong?
Yes. Yeah.
This is where we've
been in the past. And six years ago. And we're going to be there in 2020.
Excellent. So this is one of the next tours. You, all of you out there, you don't have to be members of Shark Hunters necessarily. You'll join. But you can go on this tour and see some of these amazing pieces of history, which are all over the place in Germany. The communists and socialists in Germany have not succeeded in destroying or eradicated it. It's too much. They can't. There's more underground in Germany than there probably is in any other country.
There's a whole lot, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go ahead and, Maestro, open the first picture and 1A.
Okey-doke. And you'll notice I've put ABC on some of them. So 1ABC, This is all the same place. It's a mansion called Cecilienhof, and that's in Potsdam section of Berlin. This is where the big three met to carve up the German carcass. 1A is the actual mansion itself. We've been there. We'll be there again. Uh-huh. 1B is the table where...
the big three. You might identify the big three. Just for fun.
Churchill.
FDR.
Stalin.
And Stalin.
I think it was it Stalin, FDR, or
Truman?
Was it Truman by now? Yeah, I think it was Truman because...
You're right.
FDR
he died before
had already
the other
died.
War. Yeah.
Right. So it was Truman, Stalin, and Churchill. Sometimes known
so,
as
two butchers and a moron.
Yeah, Larry Moe and Curly. Okay, and then 1C. For whatever reason, law, treaty, or just whatever, they still keep this bright red star out there on the grounds, which is the Russian red star.
1B, let me go back to 1B, please, just for a moment. I want to make sure everyone understands. That is the room, the same table, the same chairs, that the Potsdam dissection of the greatest country on the surface of the earth, or was, and those are my words, not speaking for anyone else here, was carved up. So they left the room intact. It's an historical place to visit. Sad days. For many reasons, which I've talked about for many years.
Yeah, we could do several shows just on that, but that's not what we're doing today.
Okay.
But that was the room, and one Charlie there, that's the big red star on the grounds out front. It's been said, and I think probably correctly, that this conference was done there at this home, this mansion, which was the estate of the Crown Prince of Germany. It was done to humiliate Germany.
Right. All right.
What can I say?
Nothing.
This is I deal in history, not in politics. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll make the political statements, and you won't get in trouble. All right.
Okay.
Number two.
That's right.
A very sturdy-looking iron bridge, which may have some history to it. Tell us.
It do. Those of us who are old enough to remember the Cold War, remember we'd catch evil commie spies, and they'd catch evil American spies, which were actually businessmen that they allegedly trumped up spy charges, but that's not really the way it was, because I was in the Soviet Union once, and then the Russian Republic once, and then Red China once at the request of the CIA to take pictures of certain things. So at any rate, the Russians would have Americans captive, and the Americans would have the Russian spies captive, and every once in a while they'd make a swap. And this was the bridge where they would make the swap. They would have, their troops and the spies that were about to be changed at either end, and then at a signal, the spies would start walking towards one another, pass each other on the bridge, and then be back to their own side. And this bridge is there, and we stop, just take pictures of it, because it's a piece of history.
Yep. When was that bridge built? Did that survive the war? Do we know?
Oh, I'm sure it was before the war. That sucker's been there a long time.
That's old-looking construction. I was just thinking.
Yeah. Even older than me.
Wait a minute. Let's not push it here.
Nothing's that old.
You are a living monument. That's
fossil.
You know what they do? No. In Japan, when people make a contribution, and your contributions are extraordinary, when they get to be 60s, 70s, whatever, senior citizens, older people. They are often, what?
I'm just laughing.
Oh. That they are often termed and honored with the title a living monument.
Oh.
How's that? Now, Nate, well, I'd nominate you if they did that over here.
Okay.
In other words,
well,
the person has
passed those years.
The person has that much contribution to his or her credit, and it is a monument to the good that can be done. And the Japanese are very interesting in how they treat their special older citizens. So anyway,
yeah, they're very special about that.
Yeah, my little historical observation.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah.
Most of the Orientals treat their older people with great honor and dignity.
Nice. Okay, number two. Notice how big the pictures are when they enlarge. I got Norberto to make them really nice and large. And
yeah, you
good
click
pictures.
On them. Yeah. Number two was the bridge.
Yep, number three. We have 3B here. Why is 3B?
We had 3 A, B, and C, but this is the inside. This is the so-called Wannsee House. You might want to ask Norberto what happened to A and C. But Mark's next. This is the mansion right on the lake where the so-called final solution was considered.
Oh, that's a bunch of crap. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
that's
I understand that. But
you don't have to say anything. But historically speaking, that is the alleged location where the final solution was planned and hatched formally.
Correct. There's a beautiful mansion. If I remember correctly, they said it had once been the home of a publisher, magazine or newspapers or something. It was a mansion right on the Wannsee, magnificent building. But you could look out from the building onto the Wannsee, and that's where that Blohm+Voss BV-138 flying boat landed under heavy ground fire in late April of 45 and picked up somebody. We don't know who, but picked up somebody.
Very interesting. That story is fascinating. If that's how he got out, and she, that was a very daring flight and rescue and escape. Very.
Yep. True enough, they were under heavy ground fire.
Yeah.
Nobody got hurt, but they were under heavy ground fire.
Okay. I'm going to go right through these pictures. Thank you, sponsors. Please do remember our sponsors. These products are the best I have been able to find in 30 years of research. They are all...
I use some of them. You sent me some of them, and I use them.
Yeah. They are as advertised, and they work. All right, let's go on, Harry. 4A.
4A and B. Now, this is Checkpoint Bravo. This is on the Autobahn coming into Berlin, which was on East Berlin. And we went there in 1990, and our bus, along with everything else, had to go through a zigzag of concrete jersey barriers to make sure nobody comes speeding through, and you stopped at the checkpoint on the, it was like a toll booth on the Autobahn, and while they were checking papers of everybody on board, you were over a pit, like the old-fashioned grease pit, and somebody was underneath there looking to make sure you had no escapees hanging underneath the frame of your bus.
Oh, interesting.
When we took the picture... 4 or 5, 6 years ago, this is what you see, 4A and B, kind of abandoned and overgrown, but I understand now they've turned it into a museum.
Well, one wonders, the person working under, like in the grease rack, if he were tipped a little bit in advance, he might not notice something. A lot of things probably went on back then. Oh, it's just fun to think about it.
I have no idea.
Okay. All right. Next.
I think they would have been afraid to do that, though, because if they got caught, they'd have been shot.
Well, the Stasi didn't mess around. You're right.
Yeah, the Stasi was not nice people.
No.
Okay, then.
Okay.
5ABC.
Yeah.
Okay. We're all familiar with the German Autobahn, superhighways. This is the Berlin to Munich Autobahn. Doesn't look like it's very high speed, does it? That's because the Soviets cut this out. They paved another road around it for whatever reason. I think probably because of the history. This is where Eva Braun used to drive her Mercedes Roadster and all sorts of troop movements, etc. So 5A shows what it looked like. This is 4 or 5 years ago. 5B, you notice the taggers have been attacking the overpass. And 5C, that's a little sign, that an official government sign that says you cannot chop down the trees or kill the shrubs. In other words, they want this place to be overgrown and forgotten.
All right. Look at the... let me just have a little fun here. 5B, look at the graffiti. Now, imagine no graffiti, because in the late 30s and early 40s when this was put together, I assume there was one lane going each direction, Harry. Would that be the case?
No, two lanes each way.
Double. Okay.
The one you're looking at right there, there's two lanes, but you can't see it because it's overgrown. Then on the other side of that centerpiece, there was the other two lanes going the other way, yeah.
Got it. All right, so that's just half of the underpass, what we're looking at. Now, I want all of you just for a minute to understand, and if you don't, it's fine. If you do, it's important. Among many things, Adolf Hitler wanted the people of Germany to be able to have automobiles. He saw the future. He planned, I guess, with the staff, these autobahns, major arterial highways, superhighways back then, connecting the critical parts of Germany, which is about the size of Texas. Now, he built the autobahns, and to drive on the autobahns, he came up with a car for the people, the people's car, an inexpensive car that was well-built, that could travel at good speeds, and there are pictures of it. And it was called the Volkswagen, VW. That's what the VW was all about. It was built to travel these superhighways all over Germany. There were other cars, of course, high-performance cars, Mercedes, and you name it. Probably even had a few Fords traveling around there, 29, 30, 31 Fords. They would import those to Germany. But the point is, the vision of Germany in the 30s was second to none. This is an overpass that is very much similar to what they build yet today. Look at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Eisenhower copied the superhighway idea from the Third Reich. And, of course, Hitler copied that from ancient Rome. It was the Romans that first started building these so-called superhighways. The Appian Way was the first one for quick troop movements and merchants and trade routes.
Speaking of Appian Way, for those of you who like classical music or love classical music, you'll know the piece called The Pines of Rome. And it was a musical portrait of the Appian Way today. But in musical sense, you get the sense of these giant trees that are there, and it's quite a beautiful piece of music. It's called The Pines of Rome. You can pull it up on YouTube, I'm sure. Anyway, you already knew that. Now, the owl here, what is the owl significant of?
I don't know. My German reading is not that good, but I'm guessing it's probably something like Smokey the Bear, preserve this area.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
You can't cut down the trees. You can't chop the weeds. Just got to let them grow.
Right.
Until you'll never find the Autobahn.
Got it. Very good. Okay. Well, there's a little historical sketch of the Autobahn, the superhighways, and the cars, and it's just for fun. Look up Hitler Volkswagen, do a search, and you'll see pictures when they unveiled the prototype of the car to Hitler and staff. And it did give the people mobility and freedom, the likes of which, in terms of roads, travel than no other country had. None. It was unprecedented. All right, 6A. That's up on top of an overpass?
Yeah, A and B. This is the Teltow Canal. Most people are not really familiar with that, but this was where the final bitter battle took place. The Red Army was on the east side of the Teltow Canal, and the remnants of the German military was on the west side. And where we're standing had been a transit road where there was a guard shack between East Berlin and West Berlin. But when the communist regime evaporated in 1991, they just walked off and abandoned this place. And you look at Six Baker, and those are the three flags that used to fly there. I guess the Soviet flag, the East German flag, and maybe the East Berlin flag, I don't know. But it just gone to hell in a handbasket there, too. We're
gone
assuming
to
it has gone to seed, yeah. Right,
okay.
Like the Soviet Empire.
It sure did. All right, 6A and 6B. These are really very interesting pictures.
Yep. History.
What is 6B? Is that one of the Autobahns?
No, that's the bridge with the three flags on it. Remember, I just mentioned the three flags.
Oh, the bridge that must be behind us there.
No, actually, I'm standing on the bridge taking a picture at the Teltow Canal.
Got it. Wow.
And then you'll notice 7ABC. That is a bunker. Pioneer bunker. Pioneer basically were the pathfinders, the ones that went in ahead and marked the targets. And through skillful manipulation of the lock, on 7B, we went inside that big door. And in 7C, that just, I don't know what it looks like today, but this is what it looked like 5 or 6 years ago. The whole place was still standing. I mean, what are you going to do with a bunker like that? You can't just blow it up. What they did with the old flak tower in Hamburg now, they turned it into a luxury hotel. So maybe that's what they'll do with this bunker.
That's
Who
very
knows?
Smart. I hope they find some 88s and put them up on top of that. And other, they should restore, historically speaking, they should put the guns back up.
I'm sure they're going to run right out and do that.
Oh, I'm sure they will. So 7A is the exposed part of a large underground bunker system.
No, this is not underground. This was one of the above-ground bunkers, too. They built a lot of bunkers above ground, hardened places that were bomb-resistant. So there's nothing, if there's anything underground, we never found it. And I don't believe that underground exists, or we would have been told by our friend there. Mm-hmm. So that's all an above-ground structure.
And solid concrete, probably 6 feet thick, something like that.
Oh, yeah. Steel rebarred. They built them strong.
Yeah, well, that I was really happy to see that flak tower preserved. That was a nice thing.
Okay. They built them pretty strong, too.
And wasn't it the one of them in Berlin? 60,000 people crammed into it?
Right. We'll be seeing pictures of that in a few minutes, and we're going to go there again in 2020.
All right.
So onward to 8.
I'm sending a note. Please fix 8A, 8B, and AC.
Yeah, Norberto got them a little backwards. So let's look at 8A. What the heck is the name of it? I forgot the name of the place, but it's another sort of mansion in the eastern part of Berlin. And then you look back to 8 Baker, and inside is where the German general signed the unconditional surrender and also basically signed their own death warrant. Because
pretty grim picture. Yeah.
Jodl was there, Keitel was there, and they all wound up getting hanged. And then Charlie, that's the desk where they sat, the French, the Americans, and there was a sign right there on the rope that said, there was a sign on the rope there that said, Ein Gang verboten, but that means, Harry, step over the rope and get your picture taken here. Mm-hmm. I didn't sit down, though, and sign any documents.
Well, it's all right.
We're sharing the same sentiment. Yeah. Okay. 19 ABC.
Nine.
19A. Yeah, this is right downtown Berlin at Alexanderplatz, which is the hub of Berlin. And 19A is the universal clock or whatever. I have no idea what it does or what it means or anything like that, but the Soviets built it, and so they just left it there. The beautiful walking plaza there, and as you see there, the streetcar tracks in Nienbaker, the streetcar tracks come by, and there's the train station there with the big dome glass thing. And then Nine Charlie, you know, we always eat well on Shark Hunter's tours. There we are at an outdoor restaurant. Enjoying the beautiful weather and great food.
So this was,
as we always say,
East Berlin?
It would have been, yeah. It was East Berlin. But now, of course, it's westernized. Mm-hmm. We always eat well. And as we always say, you can't get a bad meal there. You can't take a bad photograph there. And you can't get a bad beer. I don't know about the third part because I don't drink beer. I don't even drink booze anymore.
No, not with that dog. You got to be on your toes all the time.
No, not raising two children either. You know, they don't want to come home and see daddy drunk. Last time I was drunk was February of 1987, our first convention down in Key Largo. It was the last time I was drunk, and boy, oh boy, it was not a fun time, some of it.
Yeah.
We went scuba diving, and this was before the group got there for the tour. Mm-hmm. I went knees first into a bed of fire coral. That definitely will help sober you up.
You slashed yourself pretty good.
Oh, it burned like hell. But that was the end of it. So, on to 10. A and B, right?
No, I've already written. I just wrote, please look for 10B.
Well, we got 10B.
No, you got 10.
Oh, where is 10B? No, we don't.
No, 10A and 10C.
Some son of a gun. Oh, well. Anyhow, 10A, we are at the very top of the flak, the flak tower, and right there in front of Bernie. Bernie is the son of Ernst, one of our U-boat crewmen, Erwin. Erwin is still alive and still a member. He was a crewman on the boats and alive and well in Canada. And that's his son, Bernie, who just retired from the Canadian Post Office. And that big round thing would be the mount for probably a 37 millimeter. They had 88s on the four corners, and then they had 37 millimeters, and then they had 20 millimeters. And when it was working, it must have been one hell of a display.
Firing upwards.
At bomber streams.
Yeah,
there were more Allied bombers taken down by flak than by the Luftwaffe.
That's an unknown stat. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, the Luftwaffe, you know, they were in there fighting, but some of their planes got shot down, too. So, whereas with the flak batteries, you know, they were not shot at. They were targeted for bombing sometimes, but in these gigantic concrete structures, you know, people duck inside and they're safe. If you look at 10 Charlie, you'll see how thick it is, and you look at that red arrow, that's a young woman. She's not trying to sneak in without paying the fee. She was part of a mountain climbing club, and so they're practicing scaling. She got more guts than I do. I did probably that when I was a young man.
Barehanded climbs?
I don't know. All I thought was, geez, you got to be crazier than I could imagine. When I was a young man, yeah, I did stuff like that. Starved Rock out in western Illinois, Red Rocks in Colorado, etc. But, you know, when you're 20 years old, you're indestructible. Nothing's ever happened to you. Nothing's ever going to, you'll never get hurt. And then as you get older, you realize, well, maybe. And at my tender age, well, I still climb mountains in Germany when I'm there, but not straight up sheer cliffs like this. This is for tough people.
I've seen that.
And people who have no life.
I know.
But we'll be there, and there's another place that I don't have photos of here. It's called Berliner Unterwelt, in other words, underwater or underworld Berlin. These are the huge, big aircraft, shelters down there. And we go down there, and it's set up just exactly like it was back in the days of the war. Mm-hmm. And the bathrooms down there, they didn't want to call them toilette, which is a French word that is perfectly usable in Germany today, but because it was not German, they didn't want to use it, so they call it the abort. So they had the Mannor abort and the Frauen abort. Uh-huh. But that was the bathrooms, and they're still there, not used, of course. And the corners of all the doors were painted with radium paint so that if the lights went out, you'd still have a glow for about 2 hours. Very forward thinking. It's just
radium, that's what killed a lot of American women who made radium dialed watches in the 30s.
That's right. Because they'd lick the brush to get it to a point. I used to have one of them radium. Oh, geez, I had several of those radium dial watches when I was a kid before people realized there was
too.
A problem.
Yeah.
And I'd always leave it. Yeah, well, I'd always leave mine right by a bright light for about a half an hour and then mm-hmm. put it on my arm, shut off the light, watch my watch hands glow in the dark.
No, that was
now,
fascinating
I think they used,
to me.
Yeah, it was great. I think now they use tritium.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
But it was just kind of like magic to me. I remember that.
Exactly. When you were a little kid, heck yes. I've got a black watch with big numbers on it that I bought at Macy's for $16. And it's been with me all over the world. It takes a beating, and I figure, what the heck, if it goes bad, $16, so what?
Oh, that's right. Did you get the Braille model? Do you remember the... I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Timex commercials?
Oh, God, takes a licking and keeps on ticking.
Yeah.
Can you name the guy who did it?
Oh, let me think. Was it John Cameron Swayze?
That's the guy, John Cameron Swayze. He had that raspy voice. And, you know, Timex takes a licking and keeps on ticking. They tie him to jackhammers, tie him to boat propellers, and
beat
the hell out of them.
They sold a lot of watches.
No, they sure did. I had a Timex way back when.
How did I know John Cameron Swayze? How did I know that?
I don't know.
I channeled it.
you just go to the hard drive and see what you got.
No, I didn't do that. I didn't do it.
No, I mean your mental time. Hard drive.
Oh, thank you. See, you got me off the hook. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, that's how I remembered it. I don't know if they even make Timex anymore.
I don't know, but that was after the radium watches, as I remember.
That's correct. My watch, now that I have my $16 watch, got a little button. You push it, and it backlights the panel for about 20 seconds. and you can see what time it is. Right now it's Friday the 20th. And 2,246 minutes and 32 seconds.
Hey.
36 seconds. What is that? Hot watch, all right. Anyhow, off we go to, what's our next one? 11.
Let me ask a question. You can find everything on eBay. There must be some of those radium watches still around, or have they all been declared dangerous and destroyed?
Oh,
they were
who
really
knows?
Wild.
Yeah, they were. I don't know. Every once in a while, you see ads come up for official issue U-boat commander's wristwatch. That's bogus. They never had any official issue. An official issue cigarette lighters, baloney. They didn't have that. Each guy might have had one engraved for himself. That's something else. But Kriegsmarine issue? Nope, didn't happen. But we don't buy or sell original artifacts because I got no room for it as it is.
Right.
Are we off to 11?
We are, and we have 5 minutes, so let's go to number 11.
Okay. 11 A, B, C, D. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, God, we go all the way through F. Okay, 11 A. We're going into the compound that had been called Corale, which means coral. And that's our guide there. And if you can't read the writing on the fence there, it says, Harry's welcome here. Ein Gang verboten. But our guide there takes us through. This is where Admiral Dönitz had his headquarters toward the end of the war, outside of Berlin. And B, you see what appears to be nothing but roofs. Well, these were the barracks for the Soviet soldiers after the end of the war. And the barracks were down in the ground. I guess they saved on walls or something. I don't know.
Well, they'd save on heat bills because you're underground there and it would stay warmer.
Yeah, then it'd be good insulation. Too. Then you go to 11C.
Pretty grim.
11C, yeah, that was the former Soviet mess hall. Mm-hmm. And when they pulled out, they took everything that was valuable and anything else, they just walked off and left it.
Yeah.
And 11D, that's one of the four artificial lakes that from the air made this compound look like just a farm. Remember, the Soviet barracks weren't there at the time. You know, during the war. And it also was water in case they needed water for the fire suppression.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 11E is the above ground structure for the bunker that was Dönitz's command bunker. But you notice by the cinder blocks, it's been added to later on. And the local police were practicing urban assault, or maybe it was a soldier of the army, I don't know, practicing urban assault drills there. And 11F, yes, this was a passage through, not underground yet, but heavily reinforced. But then, let's see, I don't have any photos of... Oh, yeah, we do, further on. Yep, let's go on then to 12A. We go through a rather hidden gate. That's our friend there who's taking us.
Can you go back for me to 11E real quick?
Sure.
That's on the left. It looks like a very thick wall, and it's angled.
It is. Yep. That was the original construction.
Uh-huh.
Meant to deflect bombs.
Yeah.
But the other stuff with the cinder blocks or whatever, concrete blocks, that was built later on after the war, after Germany got its independence and the military or the police or whatever were having urban assault drills here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 11F is just one of the corridors in that structure, I guess, huh?
Right, 11F. Then 12 Abel, our friend again, who shall go nameless, is escorting us past another one of those pesky signs into the actual bunker area, the underground bunker. 12B, you'll see nothing except a stairway. But if you go right to the top of that stairwell, aha, you open a hatch, and there you go down. It goes down three levels.
That would take two hands to open that hatch.
Oh, yeah, or a couple of guys. And we have pictures. We have pictures. This is 12C. Mm-hmm. We've been inside, although now you see on 12D, I'm going down from the second to the third level. We're not supposed to be in there because allegedly rotting wood gives off a lot of nitrogen, and you can't live breathing nitrogen. But we had...
I don't see much wood in there, Harry.
No, but way down in the lower levels, yeah, there was a lot of wood. Door frames and lots of supports and things. So we distracted the guy in charge, and me and a few other guys went down there and got a lot of good photos down inside.
Time
to sell some product.
So we can do this. Some of the things that you who get to go on this tour will get to see.
Oh, absolutely.
And much more.
Burn up the batteries in your camera, boy, because you can take photos and films to your heart's content.
Very good. All right. We will be right back with more pictures in just a few minutes with Admiral Harry Cooper after this.